Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Hello, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Empower Radio, Earth Wisdom Circles. I am absolutely delighted to have the opportunity to speak with a wonderful, beautiful human being, Veda Austin, who is joining us in the middle of the night from New Zealand, excuse me. And Veda, I first of all, I want to let you know, before we begin this interview, I have listened to you speak on YouTube and different things, and your articulation and the way you express the beauty of what you do makes me cry every time I hear your voice. So I want to thank you for that. So Veda is an extraordinary woman who will share her own story with us, but she works with water and has discovered and really has really researched the beauty and the intelligence of water, of which we need to know so much about and we know so little about. So welcome to the show, Veda.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And this really is my favorite topic. So I'm delighted to be able to talk to you today all about what I've been researching and my discoveries.
Well, we only have 26 minutes, which goes by quickly. So please just jump right in.
Okay. First of all, I'll ask you, would you like me to start from the beginning, or shall I launch into where I really started learning about the way in which water is so informative and the way in which
a little bit of both, because I think it's important how you began and how this water viscerally was interacting with you. Yeah. That kind of woke you up.
I'll jump into it.
Thank you.
So about 25 years ago, I was in a really horrendous car accident. We went under a 7-ton truck and rolled twice. The driver was decapitated, one of the worst accidents in New Zealand where someone survived. And over the course of 20 years, I had 8 operations. And on the last operation, they found that I didn't recover well after bowel surgery because the seatbelt basically crushed my internal organs when the car kind of went on impact. And so I left scar tissue on my small bowel. So every time I try to eat, it was like being in labor almost every day. So I had to have a number of operations for that. And on the last one, I didn't recover well, as I said, and they found I had showers of blood clots in my lungs. And the doctors were really feeding me the fear, and they said, no, you might have to be on warfarin for the rest of your life, which is a blood thinner and also a rat poison. And I've always lived a very holistic life, and I was in quite a lot of resistance to the idea of having to do that. And my heart goes out to people that really do have to do that every day. And so I can't remember the exact amount of time, but for a few months I did that, and I just hated it. And I ended up talking to a friend of mine who is a medical doctor, but he also practices Ayurvedic medicine. And he said to me, look, totally off the record, have you ever thought of trying a high natural alkaline water? It might be able to help to stabilize the pH of your blood, which had become really sticky, which is what created the blood clots. And I said, no, I've never even heard of such a thing. And he said, well, look, it can be helpful for some people, but he made the emphasis on natural. He wasn't interested in any of the machine-made ionizing kind of processes. And so I went through, we kind of started going through a number of different waters. I became a guinea pig of my own health in relation to water. So I started doing 8-week trials. And in New Zealand, we're very fortunate in that most of our tap water, although I wouldn't really recommend drinking it unless it had been filtered, is around about a 7.2. Our rainwater is around a 7.3. For people that don't understand pH, it stands for the power or potential of hydrogen, and it's whether something is acidic or alkaline. And it starts at a 0 and it goes up to a 14, and 7 is neutral, which is the pH of distilled water is 7. So anything above a 7 is considered to be alkaline. So I started trialing waters between 7.3 up to 8.2, and I didn't know what to expect because you're drinking it and it's water, And I was thinking, oh, yeah, I feel kind of hydrated, but you know, I didn't really notice any specific change until this one day, a friend of mine said to me, listen, I've heard of this guy. He's got his own private water source. It's a really, really deep underwater, underground aquifer. And he's only giving his water to cancer patients. You might want to go and try it. And so I'm like, oh, that sounds fantastic. But what she said that intrigued me the most was that his pH out of the ground was 9.9 naturally. So that was the highest natural alkaline water I'd ever, ever heard of. So I went and I saw him and he gave me a supply of this water. So after 3 days, I noticed a really big change and something a lot of people don't like to talk about, but it's really a sign of our internal health, which is our bowel motions. And since I'd had so much bowel surgery, you know, it was really relevant to me.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of dehydrated people, either just slightly dehydrated or really severely dehydrated, that is sitting on the toilet trying to push a pebble out. And it really is like for an hour, they're struggling on the toilet, just trying to push something out. And that's not natural. And often that comes from dehydration, from just not drinking enough water. And so I noticed a change there. I'm like, okay, this is good. And then after 10 days, I noticed a really huge change start to happen in the form of these strange bumps that started to come up on my arm and along my jaw. And they were really painful. And I'm like, God, I know I'm detoxing, but I just didn't know what. This was 20 years after my car accident. And so it sounds gross, but I got some tweezers and I started digging into one of them that felt really sharp and really sore. And the tweezers actually hit something kind of like weird. And it kind of made a clicking noise. I'm like, what the heck is this? And so I dug into my arm and I ended up pulling out this green shard of glass. And I'm like, oh my God. And from between day 10 and day 12, 27 pieces of glass came out of my body, and most of them were green. And they were green because the man who owned the car that we were in the car accident with, he had crates of Steinlager beer. Hopefully you can understand my accent because I know.
We can hear, yes, we can perfectly.
It sounds like grizzly beer, but anyway, and that kind of beer, the beer bottles are green. So when the car rolled, I'd gone like this, and a lot of that came forward and shattered through my arm, which was why so much of it was green. And I kind of got to this point where, okay, there is something really, really interesting going here with this water. But you know, it didn't just only push out glass. Really, even years before that, when I was about 15, there was this big kind of massive thorn thing that had got stuck between my knuckles. And we thought we'd got all of it out. But after drinking this water at the same time as the glass, some of the remainder of the thorn, which is like this fossil by this time, had actually started to work its way out through my knuckles. So it wasn't just the glass. It was also something that was in my body that was foreign, that had been there since I was a teenager.
What is so fascinating about this, Veda, is you can see these physical objects, but you can't even imagine what are the microscopic objects coming out in urine, in feces, in your respiration, and in your perspiration.
Exactly.
The toxins that are being pushed out of your body by water alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I knew that because I was doing quite strict trials with myself. I wasn't changing my diet. I wasn't doing anything much different. I wouldn't change my makeup. You know, there was a lot of things I was doing, which I was really trying to trial water as something which could help my health. And I wanted to really observe and see if it was going to make any difference. And in this particular case, it really was dramatic. But I had a wellness center back then. And so I thought, well, I wonder if I'm just a fluke or whether this water can actually help other people. Mm-hmm. So I started trialing people, I had a lot of people actually want to go on the trials because they had heard my story. And I'm like, look, I don't know if it's just a fluke. It might be, but let's see. So I trialed over 2 years. I trialed nearly about 92 people on 8-week trials. They drank a litre in the morning and a litre at night for 8 weeks. And I had everything from extremely healthy people all the way to very, very sick people. And the extremely healthy people all felt more energized, and the extremely sick people had dramatic recovery results. And everyone in between, and there were a lot of different cases, from depression to people with infertility to people who had severe skin issues. So every single person had some amazing result, but across the board, everybody's eyesight improved. It was fascinating to me because our eye lens is 99% water. Yes. And it is a fourth phase water. There's a liquid, solid, gas, and a type of gel. And so our eye lens is this very special ordered type of structured jelly. And it's highly condensed and concentrated of this type of water. So what I observed after I started doing more research was that this particular water had what's called exclusion zone or fourth phase water. One of my mentors and dear friends is Dr. Gerald Pollack, and he talks in depth about fourth phase water. It really is an incredible,
fascinating
type of water. It has one, so our body converts H2O into H3O2, which means that it has an extra hydrogen and an extra oxygen atom. And with that comes, it's more viscous, more stretchy, it absorbs more light, it has a slightly higher pH, it has a negative charge, and it is like a self-propelling battery. And it's the kind of water our cells require for their ultimate health. And it's expanded with infrared light. And so one of the most important things is that it has negative charge. And so I was able to actually see whether or not this water had those properties, if it had that kind of water in it. So we can have that kind of water inside of ourselves, but there is also within other water sources, not all of them, but some of them have traces of this kind of water within them. And this water had that. So that's why I found it interesting. One lady even had to change the prescription on her glasses because her eyesight had improved to such a degree. Wow. And it was interesting. Beautiful. It was the one thing of that across the board that improved. And I won't go into all the trials. There were so many amazing things that happened, but I know we're on a schedule, so I'll kind of skip along. And so I'm like, okay, you know, there's clearly something to this. So I started researching the new science of water. There really is a new science of water.
Yes,
water is something which I call the rebel element because it defies the laws of physics and gravity, which means it expands when it cools and it can make its way up trees. And it's, you know, if you think about it, and this is somebody actually asked me years ago, they said to me, so do you believe in aliens? And I wasn't expecting that question. And I said, well, if you consider that by molecular count, we're 99% water, and scientists tell us that most water came from outer space, from meteorites and asteroids, then there's no life without water. It's kind of suggesting we really are the aliens, or essentially we're drinking alien water.
And we have the misunderstanding to think really foolishly that anything is outside of us. We are inherently alien.
Of course.
And it's our thoughts that are alien. We don't know how to integrate our thoughts. We don't know how to integrate the natural world into our lives.
That's so profound. Yeah. So I started to look at all these different properties of water. I started to look, but I realized that you can't really understand water just by reading an analysis. If you think about it, it's water is the ultimate solvent. So it's really hungry for things. It's always picking up information all the time. So when you look in an analysis, it will tell you what the total dissolved solids are. It will tell you how much the things it's got in it, whether it's got any chlorine or bromide or whatever. It's telling you what's in water. but it doesn't actually tell you anything about the water itself. It's kind of like taking a blood test from somebody and thinking you know everything about that person. So I started to look into the understanding of water much more on a structural level. So professionally, I am a water researcher and I specialize in the area of crystallography. And my area of most interest is in the space between liquid and solid, as water is becoming a mineral, because most people don't know that ice is actually a mineral. It's a mineral or a liquid crystal because it has the same lattice-like order as a crystal does, except that it can melt. It's essentially water in a different form. And as water is becoming, it becoming something. So it literally uses its building blocks of ice to take shape and form. And I've discovered a technique whereby I can photograph imagery in this in-between state, which is extremely hard to get your head around because it really relates to us as human beings. It's almost as if it creates imagery through this ability to transform itself into imagery that we can recognize very clearly over and over and over again. So when I started to look at the new science of water, most people have heard of Masaru Emoto. And what I think Emoto's work did was bring about an understanding of water and a connection to water through art. So his photographs, for people that don't know, he would have a glass of water that had the word love on it, a glass of water that had the word hate on it, and many more, but it was to show contrasting emotions, for example, or feelings. And then he would take a tiny bit of that and flash freeze it, and he would microscopically photograph the geometries that would form or not form. So, for example, gratitude showed one of the most beautiful geometries, and the word hate showed no real structural form. It looked a little bit like a mudslide. So people were able to suddenly say, oh, that feels like, that's like us. Look how much water we're made of. And look how water responds beautifully to something beautiful and how it doesn't like the idea of hate. It just doesn't form structurally. And so he was slammed by the scientific community because it didn't really, for them, they didn't see enough of the way in which his repeat studies and various different things. However, it doesn't mean that it wasn't scientific because he did discover something amazing. Then there was a man called Laurent Costa, and his work was microscopic, but it was showing imagery. So he has a book called Into the Heart of Water, and he microscopically saw this incredible heart. It was so beautiful. He has fish. He has faces and little happy faces. You know, he has lots of different imagery, and that was like the next step for me. I'm like, okay, we have geometry, now we have imagery. And that was fascinating to me. And so then I thought, well, I really want to try and see for myself if water has memory. I don't want to necessarily believe everything. I wanted to see for myself if I could prove it. So I had a petri dish and I had some great water, and my idea was that I was simply going to project a happy thought or a loving thought or something into the water and freeze it and then pull it out and see if anything would show up in the ice. That was my very rudimentary idea. But there was some fluff in the water, so I was like, ugh. So I put my hand in to take the fluff out, consciously thinking, I wonder if my hand will have any impact on the water's memory. That was my conscious thought. So then I put it in the freezer and I pulled it out later, I had no expectation at all. I was just curious. And then I held it up to the light and I kind of freaked out where there was this picture of this hand like this. Literally, it looked a bit like a skeleton hand. I don't know if you have it or if you'd like me to, I don't even know.
If you can show it, that would be great. I can't, unfortunately, I can't show it from where I'm at.
I can do a screen share. So let me see. Share screen. Okay. So, oh gosh, this is looking weird for me.
It's not showing up at all, Data. So we'll just give people the opportunity to look on your website.
Yeah. Okay. I would recommend. Yeah, do that, because everything is on my website. If you go to examples, there's pictures, there's lots and lots of pictures and examples there. And the picture of the hand is actually, where is it? There is, you'll see it. You can't believe it.
And so let's go to VedaAustin.com and you'll see her beautiful website with all the illustrations.
Thanks. So yeah, I saw this hand and it took up half the Petri dish. So this isn't microscopic. This is macroscopic. So then I took a photo and I showed my son Rama and I said, "Hey Rama, what's this?" And he goes, "It's a hand, Mum." And I'm like, "I know, it really is." So then I went down to the beach because I thought of all any water that's going to be informed, it's probably going to be seawater. So I didn't influence it myself. Not that I not consciously anyway. And so I put a thin layer because seawater freezes much slower than regular water. And I froze that and I got this incredible fish. And this is also on my website, this fish with a perfect eye, with scales and a tail, and you can see his whole body. And I'm like, okay. And this is when my freezer became my most used household appliance. And I now have over 10,000 images of responding this way. And it is not that I'm taking hundreds of photos and just choosing the best one. I can't. The water, the actual ice melts too quickly. I'm not in a cold room. I'm in my lounge most of the time. And I'm taking these photos on my iPhone. But as I progressed in the understanding of water science and understanding of water myself, because if you consider that we are actually bodies of water, living on a body of water. And people often say to me, "Oh, these experiments you do." And I'm like, I don't like the word experiment because I consider myself to be a body of water. And I don't like the idea of being experimented on myself. And I think my connection with water comes from a real childlike appreciation for something so new and exciting. Because every time I see these images, I have no idea what's going to show up.
Veda, may I just share a thought that just came to my mind, and you just reinforced it when you said a childlike. What the image that is coming to my mind as an intuitive is, it's like when a child is learning language, they mimic. So, but it's the water that's trying to teach us its language. Yeah. So in the most rudimentary way, it's mirroring what we say. And when we understand and learn how to ask questions that ask the water, how do we heal you? How do we heal us with you? Then this broad, huge language and conversation can begin. But I'm so thankful to you and Dr. Emoto and all of those who are studying this science of what is. Science is the study of what is. We're not learning we're not creating anything new with our hypotheses. We're trying to discover what creation has already created. Yeah. We're trying to understand its properties and what it is in relation to us so that we can stop hurting ourselves in this world.
So true.
And I keep seeing this beautiful explosion of information for you when it's no longer just mirroring what you're asking. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's blown my mind multiple times. I'm so right out there anyway, even though I do use science, you know, I'm as scientific as I can be given the nature of my work. But when you're working with nature, you're working with a force. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that you can control it. So that's what science tends to like to do, is to have control.
Right.
Sorry.
But what we have to understand is that when we're trying to control something, then we are trying to move it in the direction of our hypothesis.
That's exactly right. And I think that's the true science actually shows the true phenomena. Yeah. So, and that's where I started going right out there. I thought, well, okay, let's look at, see if water, what its idea of images are. So I've done a lot of studies just putting a photograph of somebody and placing a Petri dish of water on top of it for 30 seconds, freezing it, and then photographing it. And it picks up people's physical images. So you actually see it is identifying them. And now my technique is very specific. Without going into too much detail, I am not just freezing water anymore. My technique is really short. It actually, I found that there is two kinds of water in water, informed water and uninformed water. Informed water actually freezes at the bottom of the petri dish before the uninformed water does. So you have a frozen part and a liquid part. I only now photograph the frozen part. So we're working with a liquid crystal architecture, a designer, really. And so once I said to water, do you know who I am? I just spoke. And in the water, it showed a perfect VA. But not only was it my initials, but they were linked in exactly the same, in fact, better than the way in which I link my initials all the time. Mm. I said to the water, can you connect to my mum who passed away in 99 and was the most amazing angel that ever walked this planet to me? And I used to live in Japan. And when we would write letters to each other, she would always end the letter with a circle and a heart. And that was the image that I got with that question. And I asked the same question a year later and I got the same response. So that's the scientific part, is that I've done a lot of repeat studies and water keeps showing up repeatedly in the same patterns.
Oh, Veda, I'm so sorry to have to end this so quickly, and I want to have you back when it's convenient for you, but I really want to encourage all my listeners and your listeners to go to get your book, The Secret Intelligence of Water. Go to her beautiful website, www.vedaaustin.com, to learn about the extraordinary work that she's doing to help us know who we actually are. Thank you so much, Veda. My love to you.
Thank you.